The book of Acts. We are in chapter 4. We're finishing chapter 4 this week. We started chapter 4 last week. Should we remind you of the rhyme? Chapter 4, God's Spirit shakes the floor. And that's where we're going to go to today. Last week, we didn't really get the shaking the floor part. This week, we're going to get there. So you'll meet me in Acts 4, verse 23, and we'll get on that pretty soon. If you got a gadget or your Bible, or if you need a Bible, there are some scattered throughout the worship center in the baskets underneath the seats. While you're getting that passage up and ready to go, I want to thank all of our, let's go backwards. What a weekend it was. Wow, what a blur. Friday night, we had some youth heroes, some youth ministry heroes come and do an all-nighter with our middle schoolers here in the church. They're just awesome. Some of them are actually here this morning, which is amazing to me. And the middle schoolers are not meeting tonight because they had their all-nighter on Friday night, and they're mad. The middle schoolers are like, we still want to meet. And the leaders are like, tough luck, we're tired. And so the leaders take a longer time to recover. But we're so thankful for our middle school adult leaders, for our youth ministry, the time they give and the sacrifices they make. That was wonderful. I got to drive the bus, and they're full of energy, and I'm sure it lasted all night long. And so it was great. And then Oh Yeah was here. They were doing their game night. And then yesterday morning, we had a men's bacon and Bible. And I know I say this every time, but boy, the men of Oakwood outdo themselves. I'm telling you, it's not just bacon. Some of you think we come and just eat bacon. No, there is incredible dishes served. I mean, we had the chocolate-covered bacon. We had all sorts of things wrapped in bacon. Only Tim and I got to experience bacon cannoli. There was only two of those. Bacon cannoli, oh my goodness, that is fantastic. We had some bacon sushi thing with chopsticks. I mean, it was incredible. We had about 40 men here that came and enjoyed that. We had two testimonies. Men from Oakwood, Warren Boyne and Mark Weber, shared their testimonies, powerful. And then we went outside and destroyed that barn. Anybody notice? Anybody coming from the east side, coming in, you can see all the way through. You can actually see Oakwood now, the church. That's a wonderful thing. And so lots of things are being done, and we're grateful for that. And then an update. I shared with you my message last week, because last week we talked about Peter and John boldly proclaiming the gospel. And I told you that while I was writing that message, I got a call. Pastor, we need you to come preach the gospel. And I'm like, yeah, I have to. I mean, I'm preaching it. I'm on this point telling people, share the gospel. When you can share the gospel, how could I not come and share the gospel? So last night, I traveled to Lapeer Park in the middle of the city. And there was about 55 teenagers there. Only 10 of them were from their youth group. So there was a lot of teens that were first-time visitors at that event, and they gave me a microphone, and I preached the gospel in that park, which I thought was great, because everybody around had to hear it too. But out of those 55 teens, three teenagers responded to the message, received Christ last night. Amen? It was great. You know, we need to be bold. We need to be bold. We need to pray that God would give us boldness. When we have the opportunity, take the opportunity. I drove home and couldn't help but thinking, the message of the gospel is so wonderful. It's so wonderful to share this good news. I was just overwhelmed with joy that I was given an opportunity. I pray that you'll get opportunities and you'll be bold enough to take the opportunities. And that's what leads us into this message. Last week, Peter and John took the opportunity and they shared the gospel boldly, and they got thrown in jail. So let's pick it up there, and we'll go into today's message. Now, don't hate me, but I couldn't help myself. When I come up with my big ideas, sometimes something hits me, and I'm like, no, I can't do that. And then I go, yeah, I can. And then I say, no, I can't do it. And then I say, yeah, I can. So God's Spirit shakes the floor in Acts chapter 4. Today we're going to talk about being shaken, not stirred. Okay, don't get mad. I grew up watching 007. I know he's an awful example, but shaken, not stirred. Today we're talking about the great traits of a great family. Let's read the whole context, and then we'll walk through the passage together. Follow me as I read Acts chapter 4. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage against and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. He was quoting Psalm 118:22. Verse 27, indeed Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they'd prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. All the believers were one in heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold the field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. May God add his blessing to the reading of Scripture. And let's pray us in this morning. Would you pray this prayer? God, since there's something you want me to hear, I'm willing to listen. God, since there's something you want me to hear, I'm willing to listen. And God, I pray that you would be glorified, that everyone hearing this would be edified, and that Satan would be horrified. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Part 2 of chapter 4 last week, as we talked about Peter and John and the miracle that happened. Chapter 3, a miracle for all to see. And they use that to start telling people the news that Jesus, and this is just weeks after his crucifixion, people there witnessed it. A lot of people there were the ones yelling, crucify him, crucify him. Give us Barabbas, give us Barabbas. And they're the same ones there now realizing, oh my goodness, because Peter and John said, you crucified him, but God raised him from the dead. And then on and on he went and he talked about forgiveness. Now, they met with the ruling, the Sanhedrin, the ruling Jewish group who put him in jail overnight. And then they didn't know how to threaten him because the guy who had been healed is standing right there. And so they can't really do anything about it. So they said, stop talking about Jesus and go. And they're like, listen, we're going to talk about Jesus. But they went. Then they go back, and this is where we start today's passage. They went back and they reported all that had happened. So let's walk through it. The first thing we see is their great faith. Everybody say faith. In verses 23 through 30, we see this gathering, this group of Christians, the early church. And I love what we see happening in the first words. They return. Peter and John, and what does the Bible say? They came to their own people. Don't pass that by too quickly. I want to read it again. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people. I love that. You're my people, and I'm your people. And you should be able to look around this room and say, you're my people, and I'm your people. That's what a church is. We're not a bunch of individuals that come for some singing and some preaching and then go home again. A community, a body of Christ, are people bonded together, doing life together. And I love that here at the first church, these people were called their own people. Peter and John, a special bond. They report. They simply tell everybody, here's what happened. We've been banned from speaking about Jesus. Oh, no. Don't worry, we're going to do it anyway. Okay. But they report what had happened. We were in jail overnight. And then the response is great. We ought to make picket signs and rally at the town hall. We ought to protest. No. We ought to rise up against insurrection. We need to... No. No, they didn't fight the government. They didn't fight the system. Peter and John were threatened, put in jail overnight, released and told not to do it. They said that we were going to do it. They went back and told the people what had happened, and immediately they began to pray. Everybody say pray. I love the response. I'm telling you, friends, the power of prayer is important for God's people. I know some of you like to, at times, take up signs and make up rallies and all those kind of things, and that's not me. Honestly, it's just not me. There's power in prayer, though. I can pray, and I can continue to do what God asks me to do, and that's what you should do too. Continue to do what you believe God has asked you to do, and do it with boldness, and pray. I love the response of their great faith. And it's a great prayer, by the way. I read it to you, but did you catch all the pieces? Let me give them to you. They acknowledge God as master. What do they start their prayer? Oh, sovereign God. So in their prayer, they acknowledge God as master. Number two, they acknowledge God as creator. You created all things. Last night, I brought my Bible with me to talk to those teens. And my first point was, God is creator God. And I read Genesis 1:1. And I said, now, if you don't believe that, and you don't think that's true, I've got nothing else for you tonight. Because everything else I'm going to tell you is based on the fact that God is, and He created all things. Genesis 1:1, the Bible starts there. The first words, in the beginning, God. They acknowledge God as creator. Number three, they acknowledge God prophesied about the Messiah. They go back to the prophecies and say, you told us ahead of time about Jesus. And then they acknowledge Jesus is the fulfillment of that prophecy. Are you watching it? Are you looking? Go ahead and look down at your Bible or your gadget and just follow along that prayer. They acknowledge God as master. They acknowledge God as creator. They acknowledge God prophesied about Jesus ahead of time. And then they acknowledge that Jesus came and He was the fulfillment of that prophecy. And then they acknowledge God's plan unfolding today. Oh, I hope your prayers aren't all about the past. It's good to talk to God and thank Him for what He's done. That's fine. But do you know He's working today? Do you acknowledge that He's actually involved in what you're up to right now today and what's going to unfold tomorrow? The same God that did miracles in the past does miracles today. And so they acknowledge that He has a plan. And then they acknowledge that they need God's power for boldness. They understood, we're going to preach the name of Jesus no matter what they do to us. And we're going to see that played out in the book of Acts, their boldness. So they know they need that boldness, so they pray. We need your power for that boldness. And then they acknowledge that God has a supernatural power to give them that boldness. Hey, this is a great prayer. Look at the screen. When you pray, Jesus taught us how we pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who had debts against us. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the power and the kingdom and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus taught us how we should pray, but this is a great example of prayer as well. When you pray, acknowledge God as master, creator. Acknowledge that He gave us Jesus and warned us ahead of time about sin. And then acknowledge that Jesus is the plan. Acknowledge God's plan unfolding in your life today. And acknowledge that you need God's power and acknowledge that God has the power to give you. That's a great prayer. Everybody say, great prayer. Amen. We move on. God's great power. The place was shaken. I love it. I don't know. I don't know what happens up in heaven, but God heard this great prayer and He's so happy with His people. I imagine God was just joyed with His people that they get it. They get it right. And then He just, I don't know if it was God just clapping or whatever it was. You know, have you ever hear that? I heard that when thunder happens, last week we had that big storm. Yeah, I used to hear that was the angels bowling in heaven, you know. And I always think, every time I hear thunder, I'm like, strike? You know. I don't know what happened that shook the floor. I don't know how God did it, but it was a rumble. I mean, the shaking is not about loudness. The shaking is about feeling. Have you ever felt something powerful? Some of you know this, but in my younger years, I was just all about let's do things big, big. And so we started Fright Nights, and Fright Nights grew big. And we were bringing in large Christian bands. Over 3,000 teens were coming to these events. And I decided what we really needed was some pyrotechnics. And so I researched pyrotechnic stuff, and I realized I could do this. And so I decided to become a pyrotechnician. And I went to the fire chief of Battle Creek, downtown Battle Creek. I walked in, and I'm like, I want my pyrotechnics license. He goes, no. I'm a 20-year-old kid, right? And he's like, no. I'm like, well, you have to give licenses to some people. How do they get them? Well, they got to know stuff. Like, what do they got to know? And he actually brought out a three-ring binder that was this thick. Poof, he put it on his desk. He goes, you got to know all this. And I said, thank you. I'll give it back to you in a week. I came back a week later, and I put it on his desk, and I said, I want my pyrotechnics license. He goes, you got to know all that stuff. I said, ask me a question. What's the proximity of a type A plus B explosive? I said, that's 12 feet. He looked it up. Whoa. He goes, did you read this? I did. He had no other reason but to hand me a pyrotechnics license, and so I became a licensed pyrotechnician. We blew stuff up. From my time at Calvary, even on church events, Jesus didn't just come out of the tomb at Easter. He came out with explosions. Boom! And we loved that. I did it at Barrakel. I remember when Uncle Johnny, who founded Camp Barrakel, was way in his 80s, and I came to speak, and I had a pyrotechnic plan for my message, and I didn't know that Uncle Johnny stayed on the stage when you preached. And I'm like, he's 80-some years old, and I've got an explosion going to happen. And I remember, he's right at 12 feet. As long as he doesn't lean forward, he'll live. And I remember exploding that thing at the end of my message and thinking, oh my goodness, if I kill Uncle Johnny, I probably will never get invited back. And I turned around and looked at Uncle Johnny after the explosion went off, and he had this huge smile on his face. I love that. But sometimes it goes wrong. At our last Fright Night event, I had trained all my helpers, because you got to have helpers. And we had special pots and igniters. We were fancy, and we had a double key thing and a push-button wireless system that would blow these explosives up. So I was worried about all the big-picture stuff, and I had my guys load the pots with explosives. And Kevin went around, and he loaded each pot. And I had I used baby food jars so I could mix perfect amount of. And I said, Kevin, go load the pots. And I didn't even double check it. That's the first thing you should do as a pyrotechnician, double check to work, but I didn't double check it. And so everything was set for Fright Night, and the band was there, and they had all their equipment on stage like we do here. The guitars were out, the drums were out, and I remember, let's do a test. And so before anybody got there, we set it all up, and I went to the back, and I'm like, 3, 2, 1. And when I hit that button, I knew something was wrong, because it went kaboom, and the whole place shook. Kevin had gotten a little excited, and he decided to double load every pot. The pots, by the way, are metal pots with cement poured into them with a little hole that you put the thing in. And it can handle a regular, but double, it actually blew all the cement into little pieces and threw them over everything on stage, including the guitars and the drums. This is a known Christian band. I won't tell you who they were. They were all young at those days, too. They were all young 20s. And when that went off, they were there, and they saw their guitars getting hit with gravel and stone. And I thought, we just lost a lot of money. And I remember I turned around and looked at them, and the guys went, that was awesome! I mean, it shook everything. Have you experienced that kind of a ground shaking? You remember that. I remember where I was when they took down the Pontiac Silverdome. Remember, I don't know if you remember this, but they had a plan and it got delayed. And I forgot about it. I knew about the first one, but it got delayed. The second time, I wasn't paying attention. And I had a bus full of Chinese students, Jeff. Jeff had me driving the Chinese students to Oxford. And we happened to be driving through Pontiac, heading back wherever we were heading, and all of a sudden, kaboom, and the bus shook. The whole bus shook. Now, Chinese students are really interesting. They don't make a sound. They never talk. They were very quiet. Thank you, Jeff. I love that. That was a great gig. But I looked in my rearview mirror, and they were all looking over their seats like, what just happened? You know when something big happens. You experience it. You feel it. I think that everybody there experienced the joy of God, that their prayer had an effect. And it was similar to the effect in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit came. We had the wind and the rushing thing and the flame thing. And this is different in that it was just that shaking of the floor. The people sensed the Holy Spirit. They had a Spirit-led experience. Now, if you know me and you know how I've taught about the Holy Spirit, I personally don't believe in having to be filled over and over and over again with the Spirit. I know the Scripture said they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. I think it's a bad translation of what actually happened. I think they had the whole Holy Spirit, but they experienced it in a special way. You know that's true in your life, right? Aren't there times when the Holy Spirit does something different than He did last week and you sense the Holy Spirit? I just believe that as believers, we have the whole Holy Spirit in us. And at times, the Spirit does an incredible work. The people sense that. And what did they do? Did they speak in tongues? No, they spoke the Word of God. And I think that's important. Language, real truth. This wasn't just an emotional experience. This was an actual speaking of the Word of God boldly. That's what they had asked for. Remember what they prayed? We want to preach. We want to say the Word of the Lord. Now we get to see their great unity in 32. All the believers, I love that the word says all. Everyone there experienced this, not just some of them. All the believers were one. Everybody say one. There was a unity in their diversity. And that's important. We're all not the same. We don't have to all have the same thoughts and feelings and things. We can have different likes and dislikes, but we're all one. The early church had that. All the believers were one in heart and mind. This wasn't just an emotional thing. You can't just say, oh, that was just an emotional, fleeting thing. No, it was both heart and mind. It was both the brain and the feeling central of your body. Both were involved. By the way, that's required for salvation, heart and mind. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, the brain, active, both heart and mind. Here we see this involved in Acts chapter 4. All one heart and mind, and what was the outflowing of it? Selflessness over selfishness. When the Spirit shows up and works in your life, it's going to be with selflessness over selfishness. Is that what's happening in your life? In verse 33, they showed great resolve. After this, they continued to testify to the resurrection of Jesus with great power. That's what the Bible says. Remember what got Peter and John in trouble? They were talking about resurrection. And those Sadducees did not like that. And so they're upset, but they continue to testify. God's great grace was at work in them. I wish I had more time this week to dive deep into that word. I found it interesting the word grace was used there. Not mercy, but grace. Given something that they didn't deserve. And that was at work in them. And then their great generosity. Again, selflessness over selfishness. What was the outpouring? Well, the Bible says they met each other's needs. Nobody went without. That's a good indication of a great family, a great church body. It's that people that have needs are having their needs met. They practice selfless sacrifice, giving above and beyond. We've seen this a couple of times now in Acts where the people who had things were able to sell those things and bring them in for other people. Again, it wasn't communism. They didn't give away everything they owned, but the extra things they owned they could do without, they sacrificed. And it's a real sacrifice. I imagine today, there's conversations that happen with aging parents. And the kids gather to parents like, hey, you know, you need to stop giving that much to the church. That's our inheritance. What are you doing giving away our stuff? You know? And I imagine that happens quite a bit. In this context, it was very clear that Land and property was valuable. It was the legacy of a family. And when they made a choice to sell something they had extra in order to give it to the ministry, it was above and beyond. It was sacrificial. And they also had an example, and I love this thing about Barnabas. This is weird. The last verses there, all of a sudden we get a specific Joseph. They called him Barnabas. Barnabas means son of encouragement. I love how they gave a specific example of what was taking place. Barnabas went out, sold, brought the money, put it at the feet of the apostles to use how they saw fit to meet needs. Encouragement. You know, that's encouraging. Pastor Doug Schmidt, who pastored Woodside Bible Church for years, he lives here in Ortonville, he's a good friend, mentor of mine. He started on his retirement, he started Barnabas Ministries, and it's a ministry of encouragement to pastors. I've benefited from that. Pastor Ted is currently benefiting from that. He has a group of pastors he meets with. Encourage. Everybody say encouragement. That's important. So let's wrap this whole thing up today with the great traits of a great family. When you see something that's great, you recognize it. Do you easily recognize Oakwood as a great family? We claim to be a great family, grounded in faith, guided by grace, going in love. Does it show? Because when you see something, it says something. And I thought I would just bring some up today. I'm a big geek about these things. Anybody know what that's about? Amazon. Do you know the logo when you see it? Do you know what the logo means? Does anybody know what the logo means? Do you notice the little smiley face? It goes from A to Z. Didn't it drive you nuts when you see things a million times and you don't realize there's a message there? Amazon's saying, from A to Z, we cover it all. Did you know that? I showed you this one before. FedEx. Do you see the arrow? FedEx specifically put an arrow in their logo to point that they're moving in a forward direction. It's right here. FedEx. You see it. You recognize it. Nike. I love this. This logo is called a... Thank you. You know that. It's a swoosh. This little swoosh that somebody drew on a napkin at a restaurant is worldwide. Everyone knows that's Nike. I'm a geek about watching golf too, and I love when I watch golf. You ever see the guys golfing? They have logos everywhere. You ever notice that, Joe? I was watching yesterday. All these low-ranked golfers are like, and they put them here and here and here, and all these logos. Do you see Rory? Rory McIlroy, all he wears is a swoosh and a swoosh, nothing else. Nike covers it all. I noticed yesterday, my boy Scheffler. Swoosh. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I love that. I love that. You know it when you see it. I got more. Y'all probably been lied to about this. Who's that? Apple. And all the Christians rose up in defiance because they clearly meant Adam and Eve and a bite from the sinful. It's not, you guys. It's been debunked 1,000,000,000 times. Stop saying stupid stuff. It's supposed to be an apple, and they realized when it was just an apple, people thought it was a cherry or a plum. But everybody knows it's an apple because of the bite. The bite out of it shows you that it's an apple, not a cherry or a plum. By the way, they can play with the word bite because they're all about computer bites, but we won't go there. You know who this is? It's worldwide. When you see it, you know it. When you see it, you know it. Who is this? When you see it, you know it. Who is this? When you see it, you know it. By the way, you should do some research. I love doing this. I researched the Shell logo. It's been around forever. It's made many changes over the years, but this logo has endured. What about this? My favorite logo of all time. This is the only logo that actually changes my behavior. When I'm driving down the road and I see the green lady on a board, all of a sudden my body says, you probably need to go there. We'll be driving down the highway and the little green lady shows up, and my kids, when they were young, they're like, Dad, you don't need another coffee. But she's there. That's supposed to be what, Medusa? I don't care. I still go get my coffee. I love it, right? When you see it, you know it. Let me ask you this. Oakwood, are we showing what we need to show so that people will see a great family? If you think we're lacking, then all you can do is pray for boldness, because that's what this church did. The church, early church, kept praying for boldness, and they boldly went. And so we need to pray for boldness. Boldness to trust God. Boldness to know and use God's word. Boldness to live in unity. Boldness to give sacrificially. Boldness to encourage. These are the things that I see in this passage today that the early church did, and it was recognized. You could see it. Let's show the world Oakwood is a great family by being bold, trusting God, knowing and using His word, living in unity, practicing sacrificial giving, and boldness to encourage one another. You're a great church. Let's continue. Let me pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Acts chapter 4, where the Spirit shook the floor. God, I pray that You would shake us individually, shake us in a way to get us out of our normal complacency and to live in a different way. And God, as Your Spirit shakes, I pray that there would be an outpouring of giving and sacrificial selflessness and an encouragement, a spirit of encouraging that I see happen so much here at Oakwood. God, specifically today, we've been given a challenge, or two or three, how many ever Lindsay gave us, to step up. That stepping up was about encouragement, coming along an encouraging stand. God, help us to be bold this week to go out and get these goods, bring them back next Sunday. Help us to be bold enough to give of our time, show up and help pack these things. God, we pray for boldness, and as Lindsay and Cheryl head to Kentucky with these sacrificial gifts and give them to those in need. God, we have opportunity to do what the early church did. Shake us to do it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.